I want you to hear his story of, I wonder if any of you could tell how he came to Jesus. Just because you're born a Brickley doesn't mean you're saved. You do need to be saved. And so he was went through that process. I want him to share it. In Wichita, we had like three testimonies this morning. We had a homeschool girl that's 17, got saved at 6 or 7, and then ended up in going out and getting a job at 15 or 16 and began to fall away from the Lord a little bit, got into self-cutting and hurting herself. She began to fill the void. It was a lot of warfare around her life. And then Jesus came back and really just impacted her life on a day she was going to give up. Her dad has a dream about Aslan, like in the Lord of the Rings, or not, what's it called? Narnia. Sorry, I'm on the wrong trilogy. But Aslan like pins her to the ground and says, "I am removing your ability to run." And so he goes and shares this with his daughter, and she's like shaken to her core because she had just the day before just decided, "I'm giving up and I'm running away from the Lord." And she was just testifying to us about the goodness of God. Had Chad Langhofer share, who grew up in a good Christian family but had to be saved. He grew up with a lot of religion, a lot of things about Jesus, but he had never met Jesus. And it was just an awesome thing. And then we had a missionary guy share that's been shot at in Haiti. He was ministering in Haiti, and some rebels stormed a compound down there. A couple guys he was with were shot. Jonathan and I were, this guy was bringing us from the airport. He used to work at Keystone, and he was telling these stories. And we're worried about what good room we're going to get, and I'm nervous to get on a plane to fly there. And this guy's flying into nations and been shot at. He's an amazing guy. They're back in the area now and going to team up with us. But we just love hearing testimonies, all of them. Whether it's Dax in California and having to be saved from all he was, what a testimony that was, Dax. Or it's, you know, the Vallejo and Jamie. That was so good. So many good testimonies in here being saved and brought. And here is a little Christian boy that had to be made Christian. Tell us your story.
Yeah. Do appreciate your prayers, especially for this trip, as I am going to be sharing a room with Sam for 3 days. Hygiene just isn't top of the list, you know, so pray for patience. I was raised in a wonderful home. I was born in 1983, and I was the firstborn of 8 total children. My mom and my dad were just lovers of the Lord and weak individuals that did their level best to raise us in a safe environment and one where we were provided for and disciplined and taught good work ethics and things like that. And they led us to the Lord as kids. And my mom would make she was big on having us memorize the Proverbs. And so how she would help us in our little 4 and 5 year old states is she'd draw pictures, and we'd see a picture and recite a proverb. So I'd see a picture of a pig and a wedding ring, and I would just immediately say like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a woman who shows no discretion, and things like that were like impulse. I would see these pictures and repeat them. And so we did that for years. And I had to call her about this last night to find out for sure, because I couldn't remember if it was the Proverbs that I had in my hand when I walked upstairs to meet my dad to pray the sinner's prayer, or if it's something else. And she told me it was the navigator's cross picture, where the cross is laying across the canyon. There's man on one side, and there's hell down in the canyon, and the God's on the other side, and the cross is how we cross to the other side, and we don't die. So she had been going through that with me and praying, and I was 7 and a half, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but I remember feeling the need to commit my life to the Lord. I remember having for some reason, I had a healthy fear of hell. I remember not wanting to go to hell, and so as John Piper, the pastor, says, I was saved from a life of sex and drugs and rock and roll at 7 years old, you know. So I didn't have to get into all those things to be saved from those things at a young age. And so I remember walking upstairs in the apartment building we were living downstairs at the time, and walked up to the second floor, and Sam used to have a pastor's office right off the chapel on second floor. And I remember walking in, and my dad was, he had a tool belt or something like that. And I walked in, I had my little laminated paper in my hand, nervous, and said, "Dad, I'm ready to get saved now." And I remember he was excited about that, and he closed the door, and it was just the two of us in there. And And he was May 30th, Samuel's little birthday, and May 30th, 1991. And he led me through the sinner's prayer and asked me if I understood, and I said yes. And to the best of my knowledge, I believe. And I remember we got done, and nothing fantastic happened. It was pretty normal. And then my dad said, Jonathan, today your name has been written in the book of life. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing now because of that. And I remember I started crying. I don't remember much else about that, but I remember feeling overwhelmed with the truth of that. The angels were rejoicing for me. And so that's the actual salvation. That's what happened to me. I think it's been helpful to hear these testimonies week after week and for me to process through that, because I think for a lot of years I kind of discounted that as something I just did because I was raised in a family that believed that, and I didn't really make it real until later in life, and the process of discipleship surely didn't fully kick in until later in life. But that was the moment at 7 years old. That was the moment I gave my heart to the Lord, and I was reminiscing and thinking about how would I describe my life? And my life would be described as favored and blessed. I didn't deserve to be born where I was born and around the people I was around. But I remember words of life being spoken into me and over me at a young age. And if there's any encouragement I would give you in this, is that the 7-year-olds and the 6-year-olds and the 8-year-olds have such a often overlooked place in our lives. And as parents, we know how easy that is to do. But you remember what it was like when you were a kid, and if somebody older ever intentionally spoke to you, that would stick with you for maybe the rest of your life. And I remember in 1993, we were sitting in a church service up in at the building and in the chapel, and Sam was preaching. And I remember he, in the middle of his sermon, or right before he started, he said, "Jonathan Brickley, will you please come up here?" And I was just about to turn 10, and he brought me up here, and I don't even remember what he said. We have it on an audio tape, and I don't know where it is, but he identified that I had a heart for the Lord. He identified that I was going to be used by the Lord to bring revival, and the Lord was going to use me to change this county and change this city. And I'll never forget that. That always stuck with me. And a few years later, I remember I was at home, and Mom and Dad were talking, and I, as usual, I was sitting there trying to listen to everything they said, Dad, almost like I was in the room, was talking about Rich Mullins. That was one of his favorite artists and mine. And he said to my mom, "Wouldn't it be neat if Jonathan really kept his heart pure for the Lord and the Lord gifted him with music like he gifted Rich Mullins with?" And I remember having such a desire for that. When he said that to me, I wanted that. I wanted a pure heart. And the Lord knows I've done my fair share to keep it impure over the years. But I've had a deep down desire. And I remember right around that time, a worship leader came up to the Vineyard Church, and I thought he was just awesome. And I hadn't ever seen anything like that before. And he cried and he sang the Keith Green song, "Created Me a Clean Heart, O God," out of the Psalms. And I remember singing that song over and over and over and asking that the Lord would create in me a clean heart. And my whole journey after that was full of ups and downs, and process of discipleship really started understanding what it means to take up my cross and follow him in 2004 August, when Uncle Sam sat down with me in the back of a furniture shop and asked me if I knew what it meant that Christ was in me and what it meant to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And I didn't know that. So that started a process for me in my adult years. It's been sweet. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
That's awesome. Thanks, buddy. I remember that day in the 90s he was talking about, and Lisa, I don't know if you remember, but Luke came up at the same time. And on the recording, we've got me talking to both Luke and to Jonathan about ministry stuff, and I was just so stirred about those young men. And so praise the Lord that the Lord's faithful to his word, and it's just awesome. So thank you, Jonathan, for your story.